You're listening to the Mundy Maniacs Podcast.
Hey there, guys, it is Kevin here with the Mundy Maniacs Podcast, and I just want to apologize for the tardiness, the lateness of this episode. This episode was actually recorded a couple of weeks ago and should have been uploaded, well, quite some time ago. But life gets in the way sometimes. The new school year has begun for me, and I've just been really busy. I definitely wanted to get this podcast out earlier, but it just wasn't happening. But here you go, guys. It's still pretty up to date. PJ and I talking about our Mundy bucket list. And, of course, we mentioned a few things about the Greer Mundy weekend coming up.
Hey, everyone. It's episode number 26 of the Mundy Maniacs Podcast. The podcast all about Mundy, the only one in town. And this week, it's just the two of us again. It's me, Kevin, here in Shenzhen, China, and PJ in Osaka. Hey, PJ.
Yo.
So this week, folks, we've got some conversation about Mundy goals, the bucket list. I heard an episode of the geocaching podcast where they were talking about bucket lists. And so I jotted down a few things that I would add to a bucket list, or things that I would like to do in the next God knows when future, when the world is a bit more normal. And, you know, so I got those down, and PJ is going to react to my bucket list and maybe come up with a few things of his own.
I'm sure I can do that.
First of all, PJ, how the heck you doing? It's been a while since we talked.
I'm okay. I'm feeling a bit of malaise. The heat, the summer heat, I think. Just today in particular, I was going to go meet with Mario, who's been on the podcast before. But I just wasn't up to going out. I'm supposed to be grading, and I'm not getting a lot done today. You know, one of those mopey days. I went out and did some. I was lazy last night, and I didn't hit my destinations, so I had to hit them today. And for those listeners who are in North America, what? Well, you know, MHQ day ends mid-afternoon for us, and currently that's 2 o'clock here in Japan, and that's the worst time in the world to be out in the summer. The sun's boiling down on my bald head, but I hit all six destinations, and I did it in less than an hour, on a bike, maybe half an hour, actually.
Wow.
But still, it was hot and it was miserable, and it just put me in one of those moods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know what you mean about that heat. That's been really curbing my play as well. I think once Clan Wars winds down for the month, and there's that kind of like that little buffer period in between, I'm just kind of like, meh, do the minimum.
Another reason why I don't like Clan Wars.
Well, you know what? If I didn't have the Clan Wars motivation during the summer heat, I wouldn't do anything.
Okay.
I have no point. Because like even today was my first day back at work. So international school years begin a bit earlier than say a typical public school in America or Canada would. So, we had all staff were back today at work, and I think I'm a little overwhelmed from being around so many people. It was, all of our early years, our primary school, our middle school, and our upper school were all together doing team building stuff. So I'm pretty exhausted. And I hadn't really done anything. I left work. I saw a nomad. There was a nomad that was only 400 meters away from my school campus, a diamond thief nomad. I think it was like a black glove holding a purple diamond. So I had to go and get that. And that's all I've done. Aside from see, my brain doesn't even work now. What do you call them? POIs? Place of interest, yeah, that are around. And then I was like thinking, I'll go for a walk tonight. But after I got home, I took my kids to the supermarket, after a 30-minute walk back and forth, we were all sweaty and gross and tired. And I'm like, you know what? No, that's it. I'm not leaving the house again until tomorrow morning. So here we are. So I was the one who came up with this idea of kind of bucket list stuff. So I'll start the ball rolling with some of my bucket list things. Some are more manageable than others. Others, God knows when they'll happen. But my first one is to complete my 365 capture streak.
Now, before we go any further, sir, I want to know, are you going from the top of your list down or from the bottom of your list up? Because you didn't say.
They're really in no particular order. There's like they're not really in a level of a ranking of importance to this or that.
A bucket list. This is a bucket bullet point, huh?
A bucket bullet point, yeah. Well, a list is kind of the same thing. A list would just have silly. But yeah, so 365. You had the joys of completing that. For me, that got dashed the day I left Japan and flew to China and got put into hotel quarantine. I didn't even realize it happened. I was like, oh, until time later. And I checked my stats and realized, okay, November 1st was the day that I broke my, my streak. So November 1st, and there you go. It's a small one, but maybe not really, you know, it's
I was just wondering what am I on now? So I'm looking my extended stats up. I think on this very podcast, I talked about the joy of not doing it daily once I had gotten my badge. And then those evil bastards at MHQ, they, you know, came up with this gnome thing. And you know, now we've got a cap every day, or is it deploy every day? I forget which, to get the new skin. So I'm out there anyway. They'll always find something to grab my attention. What is that? That line from Godfather? Just when I'm out, they pull me back in.
Right.
So I can't. I'm trying to. I was all of that talk was stretching, but the site is acting particularly slow today, and I'm not alone in here experiencing this. I'm noticed a lot of people on the water cooler saying the same thing. So I can't look up my stats now, but I'm guessing. I'm about four. Oh, hear it. Oh, no. Gateway timeout. I'm guessing I'm about 400.
Okay.
But I think that's a great goal. I wish I had an equivalent. But like you, that was an important goal for me. And I wondered when you were going there and doing the quarantine. Yeah, it's just not possible. It is what it is. You know, life gets in the way, but that's, if it were easy, I mean, you know, we both watched the MHQ birthday bash.
Award ceremony.
And it's Rob mentioned on there that nobody in the room had their 365, I think. It just goes to show you that you can be in the game and not necessarily be able to do that. So not for everybody, that's possible.
And then you have like the person with the longest streak who got the award. It was more than 3,000 days.
Yeah, they basically have been going since what, 2012? Something like that. That's craziness.
There were some wild stats that flew out during that award ceremony.
I really enjoyed that. I didn't know that I would. But I really, you know, I thought, okay, I'll watch it. But I actually really did. It was nice seeing other members because we often see Rob and Lou. Well, actually, we don't see Lou a lot on MHQ stuff, but I follow her on Insta. So, I mean, I see her and him quite a bit. It was good to see other members of the staff, other members of the team. I enjoyed watching that. That was good.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. And, I mean, some of those stats really floored me. I think the one that I was most impressed with was the person who had deployed physical Munzees in 145 countries.
That's... I really wish I would like to, but I wouldn't need to find him. I don't think he's listening, but if he is, he's too busy flying. He can't be listening to us, but if he is, we got to get you on Toot Sweet. I want to know, are you a pilot? Are you a international drug smuggler? Are you running from the law? How is it that you can be moving that much?
I know. We need to go back and watch the awards ceremony, get the username and send a message and see if we can make that happen, because what a story that would be.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty. I'm guessing either pilot or salesperson. that has to travel, quite regularly. But even sales staff are usually stuck in a region. So that's quite, because there are only, 170-ish countries in the world, according to the UN. Don't count all countries, of course. Not mentioning any names. You don't want to get blocked anywhere. I was just thinking, that's one for, I mean, basically, he's just 30 short.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Very impressive, yeah. More than pretty impressive. That's very impressive. Okay.
Anyway, your first, to get back to you, the first bucket list thing was to get to the 365. Do you think you're going to be able to get to it this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No problem. Yeah, I've got, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be going anywhere this fall. I've got POIs like on either side of my, I've got a museum on one side of my apartment. I've got a university on the other side, and I've got a few around school, and, you know, I've got with my destinations around, you know, I've got one I can cap for my classroom. I've got a skyline I can cap for my classroom. So, you know, it's very doable. Deploying is another thing, but that's okay. Just capturing. Very doable. Next one I added is to get back to Japan and play more in Japan. And of course, I want to get back to Japan for lots of reasons, to see friends and family and whatnot. But I mean, that's where I started playing. And just in the short time that the game has kind of been in Japan, the map has grown so much since I've left. And when I open it up and I look at areas like Nara or at prefecture, and I look at down in Yao City, and it even just like around Osaka Castle Park and stuff like that, like it really has grown so much. So I'd like to get there and have a few dedicated days of just full on playing, with friends or on my own with my son, but not just kind of like let's go with my family somewhere and I'll play a little bit. Like I want to have a few days to just like grind out some points. Because again, and the cool thing is, I was jotting down on my notes. I think what makes it even more neat is that it's been built by people I know.
Mm.
So players I physically met, and the map was just starting to kind of fill out. And it's been 10 months now since I've left, and to watch that map really fill out is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I've got to say, just the other day, I was I'm planning a trip, a kind of a circular train route. I'm going to hit the other side of Honshu, up where Obama, Japan is. And yes, that is a real city, if anyone's asking. And a couple other places, Maizuru. And there are some Papaganoush, and some of his buddies back in the day put some virtuals there that are now flagged as for cruisy. So I thought, you know, it'll be a lot. I haven't been on that side of the Honshu in a long time, the Japan seaside. I'll make 2 or 3 day trip of it, yada yada. So I'm going and looking at the map, as we love to do, and look at the route. And you know, my big complaint against the map as is used in Asia is its open street maps, and they're really notoriously bad for trains and subways and that. So I'm kind of, you know, jumping between the Apple map, which is far. I've got to say, Apple map is kicking Google Maps butt lately in terms of just the way it looks on the screen. I use Google a lot because of the bilingual labeling of almost everything, which is great for when I deploy. But in terms of just looking at the map, I know this isn't true in every place, but Apple Japan has done a really good job. And you can see the hills and the mountains and even the bike paths and the dirt paths and parks are mapped out on Apple, where on Google, they're often just park. Anyway, so I'm looking, using Apple Maps and using the website, and I'm looking at all these places that I want to visit in this circle that I'm planning to go. And the reason why I bring this up now is this tiny little city in the center of Hyogo called Fukuchiyama. Japanian, one of our players, has like 30 or 50 physicals there. I don't know what he was doing there. They were placed earlier in the year, but okay. From the castle ruins to this park to the train, he's got this big kind of loop-de-loop thing happening. And I just thought that is so great to come across, not just one or two virtuals or a couple of physicals, but I mean, literally, this town is decked out. And it's in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, wow, that's great to be able to be surprised that way.
Hmm.
You know?
So you were just surfing around on the map one evening or one afternoon.
I was basically looking where the trains are going to go and where I could place along the, cause as you know, it's quite a journey. I'm going to have to travel across the mountains to the other side. And then I'd go up the coast for a little bit and then back across where Kyoto is and then come down again. So basically not more a circle, more of a square, but that was my plan. And in addition to running into Papa Ganoush's in my Zudu, okay. To find a Japanian, someone that we know and have met and play the game with, he went to this, maybe he has relatives on his in-laws. I'm not sure why he was there, but he's got it decked out between he and his son's accounts. And I'm going, I just want to go there and hit those because they're just sitting there. And I love those little gems. Where you find, you know, suddenly there's a lot in one little area that you'd never expect. To me, that's an exciting part of the game. Both of us enjoy that kind of map, scouring the map, looking for little places. And when you find something out of the blue, it's nice. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. So I guess to put that on, I didn't make a bucket list. Kevin and I were talking before we started recording. PJ doesn't do well with lists because I feel it's an obligation. and I'm not good at ranking things, but I'm going to, that's something I will be doing come up late August and just going around and play. And basically I'm going to get out, take the train for an hour or two, then find a city and plant a few, get back on the train and continue my way around and stay somewhere. On the way, I guess. I haven't figured out the hotel. As you know, hotels can be rather expensive in August, September. I was looking, even business hotels in Maizuru are going for like $400 US a night. Well, it's because it's Obon and people are traveling. And so I'm going to have to figure out how to do this on the cheap because all my money goes towards Munzee. You know, I don't have time for hotels.
Yeah, just sleep in a tent. Mm. Bring a tent with you. Cool. Well, there you go. That sounds fun. Getting around and traveling. And so for me, the next one I threw on this my list is, and God knows when this is going to happen for me, but to play Munzee in America. And specifically, I want to attend some summer events or kind of / festivals. I'm obviously seeing a lot of things posted on the Munzee calendar and the Munzee website. I'm deploying lots of cards and things to different events around America and around the world. And after, you know, talking to people like, you know, Rob and Jonathan Lovegrove, I see that the Greer Munzee Hunt's coming up. And
yes, we should mention that. Do you have the date? We could mention the date, but I'm not getting the website. I can't get anything right now. It's been slow all day, but right now it is just, I can't pull it up at all.
In August, it's near the end of August. Golly, when's it now? I'm looking here. Oh, hold on. I got the calendar. Will the calendar open? I found a link. I just went to the Munzee Maniacs Facebook group, everybody. And Jonathan Lovegrove posted a video there about, so it is on August 21st, Saturday, August 21st. And that's in, Greer, South Carolina. So the Greer Munzee Hunt, the fifth Greer Munzee Hunt. And looks like it's going to be a pretty good deal. It's
Kevin, stuff
that are all kind of, yeah.
We completely lost you there. I don't know. Yeah, you basically went to zero. So let's go back to, let's start this whole little bit again. Where were we? Where's a good stopping point? Do you remember?
Let's just start from that kind of that list one.
I'll just okay.
Start from, how long was I gone? Was I?
As soon as you started talking about Jonathan, it was a couple syllables, and then it was basically you were silent for almost 20 seconds.
Okay. Well, let's take it from the beginning of that one. Mm. Yeah. So the next one on my list, PJ, is to play Munzee in America. Wow. You know, I would love to attend some summer events there. I've been deploying a lot of cards at different summer events. And after having, of course, Rob on a few times, having like Carson on, Dale and Barb, and having Jonathan Lovegrove on, I would love to go to something like the Greer Munzee Hunt, which, or in, you know, the Midwest Geo Bash, and then I could do some geocaching. But yeah, so again, it's those events look like so much fun. I know Jonathan Lovegrove, who's a former guest on the podcast here.
Yep.
He's been advertising and really pushing the Greer Munzee Hunt, which is in Greer, South Carolina.
Yes, South Carolina, and it's on the 21st, I believe you said.
21st of August. And he's been posting some information about that on the Munzee Maniacs Facebook group, which you should all be a member of. Go search for Munzee Maniacs Facebook group. We're up to 125 people now, I believe, as I'm speaking. And for all you people who are listening, who are members of the Munzee Maniacs Facebook group, get active there. Share your stories, what you're doing, share pictures, share screenshots. Tell us about your Munzee play. I'd love to attend events. And I'm just saying in America, just because, you know, I'm from Canada, and when I can get back to Canada for summer holiday, my family lives in a border town. They live in Cornwall, Ontario, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from upstate New York. So I would have, you know, access to things in America during my summer, the next summer holiday I can be in Canada.
Mm.
Yeah. Whatever that will be.
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely want to go. I'd like to go to an event, but I gotta say I have like Clan Wars. I have mixed feelings about events.
Oh, you're such a complicated person.
I really am. I'm a nutcase. But I would say my problem like with events is, you know, there are some people, and I see them in the water cooler group talking, they just play for the big points now.
Okay.
And as much as I do, like, we've only had two events here in Japan. I enjoyed them both. Even despite having the COVID, we still had some kind of socialization among the players. That was nice. Yeah, I would like to go. I don't mean to imply otherwise. But still, my joy in the game is the daily play. Like I'll enjoy when you come back so we can go grab a couple of beers and you know, head to a park and deploy and cap, or head to, you know, I like that kind of thing, the daily play, and sometimes I feel it's eclipsed by these larger point activities. I'm not poo-pooing them.
Going to be honest, I think for me, what attracts me to the events, and I haven't been to one, I don't know what it's like exactly, but for me, it would be the social part of it.
Yeah.
I want to go out and meet some of the players that have, say, been on the podcast, or players who I've seen, you know, who've deployed here in Shenzhen or have deployed in Japan where I played, and to actually meet these people and have a chat, you know, talk Munzee, and you know, if it's an event like, you know, we've had people on before, like Rob talks about like events, how like a good event should have more than just playing Munzee. There should be like, you know, like a barbecue or food or, you know, some kind of other games and activities, physical ones, not like something a little bit more multidimensional than just going out and sitting on your phone. Right. So that's what I'm kind of interested in. Like when I look at videos, I look at some of the older ones from the geocaching vlogger, from back in like 2017 when they were at MHQ for their big, like, you know, like big summer bash and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, it looked neat. It looked like a lot of fun, that aspect of it. So I think that's what I'm not thinking I'm going to go there and get 100,000 points. For me, there's, I do want to get points. No doubt about that, but,
oh, sure.
But meeting people. And again, that's kind of like what you're talking about with the kind of play that we did. It was social. I mean, the Munzee was part of it, but when we were out, when we would go somewhere, And like when we went with Batman Kai, say to Sekai City, to this UNESCO heritage site tombs, we went there, we played Munzee, we read plaques about the history, we went to a museum and looked at displays, and you and Kai talked about things and read things, and we went to convenience stores and got like unhealthy fried food and walked around and ate that and enjoyed it. And it was a fun day. Ooh. And Munzee was part of that day, but Munzee was the catalyst for that day.
Yeah.
And I like that. So there you go. There's another thing on the list.
Another thing. What else do you got, sir?
Well, you know, here's one, and I don't know how much of this would work out, because I've heard the way you've talked about you trying to encourage your brother to play and get things on the map. Now, I just mentioned that my family lives in a town called Cornwall, Ontario, which is near the U.S. border. It's a border town. And I think in the whole city, and a city, I'm using air quotes, it is technically a city, but it's probably about 55,000 people. I think there's like literally less than 20 Munzees in the entire place. Wow. And I think I've looked at them all. The last time they were all capped was like 4 or 5 years ago. So it was just like, ha. So the master plan will be before, you know, we head back the next time we can, hopefully next summer, fingers crossed. We'll deploy some virtuals. And then when we get there, deploy some physicals and then try to hook family and friends into it. If we can, cross fingers.
Yeah. Good luck with that. I tell you, my brother's the one that got me involved. He actually brought me to Munzee the second time around anyway. And, but he's just not a, you know, he has a family, he's got a job, whatever. It's just, he's a casual player. And some people are, it's very interesting. We had a chat recently with Tom, who's in our clan. And he's in the Bay Area as well. And it after that talk, I really started looking at the map, and it's so dense in spots along the Bay Area and Northern California, but it's an old map. There's not a lot of activity except where he and some of the, you know, that, you know, he had mentioned some of, there's maybe half a dozen super active players in Northern California, but the rest is, nothing's been capped in like 5 years. And if I had to add something to a bucket list, I reject the idea of the bucket list, but if I had to, I would love to. Okay. Yeah. You can't tell this. Kevin's giving me a look. If you're PJ, you're being PJ. Stop it. What I'd like to do is go to some of these old map areas that are not very active anymore, and just begin to hit them and see what's there, see what physicals are still in place, and cap the virtuals again. And I'm fascinated by old map. You know, Munzee, like any other kind of location game, goes through highs and lows. And it's funny, the high in one state might be a low in another state at the same time. Because it really does depend on that kind of critical mass you get in your region playing.
That's the thing. Like, and as people move,
yeah.
Like I'm looking at a comparison to geocaching. I've gotten a lot of emails from geocaching in the last month or two. And it's just a list of my geocaches in Japan that are being archived, because there are geocaches that have been in need of maintenance for a long time, and I just can't do it because I'm not in the country anymore. Yeah. And I know what you mean. There's like different areas I've looked at in America and in Canada where the map is incredibly developed, but then you realize you look at it on a Kyuruzi day, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of Kyuruzis. So clearly, I mean, obviously, if there was even just a few active players who were, say, into clan wars, they'd be capping tons of those Kyuruzis.
Yeah.
Or they would have been, you know, in recent months, but they're obviously not. So that just means that there's really no one around playing, or no one with a premium account, or who's ZQRU. So in other words, very casual, right?
Yeah.
Because a very casual player is not going to be.
They're Kyuru, missing ZQRU. These layers of the game. Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly. One thing, and I'm not critiquing MHQ at all, but I wonder going forward how they're going to have to find a way to reinvigorate the casual player in a way that I don't know how. I don't know the answer. But one issue, you know, right now we've all migrated to Facebook. So Facebook is where there's more than a dozen Munsey groups, water cooler being probably the biggest. We've got our group, the Munsey in Asia. I'm in the Munsey for newbies. You know, there's Munsey for social players. There's so many different Munsey groups, and they're great. But Facebook is capturing an ever smaller and ever older
demographic.
The demographic isn't there. And right now, you know, and I don't blame Munsey. It's a small organization. They can only do so much. But there's going to have to be some forward thinking about whether it's on TikTok or whether it's on Insta or another way, something that I'm not even aware of, who knows, that they can rope those more casual players into playing old maps and play, you know, doing things that they, you know, like my brother, he's a great guy and he loves the game, but he'll do it. He'll catch one and then a month will go by. He'll get another two. And then a month will go by and he'll do five, and then he won't do anything for 2 months. And I think a lot of those players, even those that they're on Facebook and, you know, of our age, almost everybody's on Facebook in North America at our age. Yeah. But I think they feel intimidated to join those groups.
I think I agree with you. I think that accessibility and other platforms, I think TikTok and Insta are the places to be and to start to grow and try to capture a newer audience. Again, listening to other podcasts. And I mean, I wish I could listen to other Munsey podcasts, but we're the only one. So, and if you guys out there, you want to make a Munsey podcast, please do. I'll listen to you. I'll be your first subscriber.
Yeah, we'll shout you out. We'll interview us. We can interview you.
But I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot out there for geocaching. And again, I'll bring him up again. Joshua Johnson, the geocaching vlogger. I was listening to him on an episode of a show recently where, you know, he's got like 54,000 YouTube followers. But on TikTok, he now has like several hundred thousand.
Yeah,
I think it is. And he's had several of his geocaching videos go viral. And just, I mean, I think that's a new world. And I think there's a lot of people that can be captured and sucked into the game. Because they're not on Facebook because that's what their parents and their grandparents are on.
Yeah.
You know? And, so I think that's definitely like, for example, even myself, I'm in the process of trying to develop and I've got some ideas here. I've got a second podcast, which is not about Munsey. It's about education, but about outdoor nature education. And a vehicle I'm going to try to use to promote that is Instagram. And I've got a smaller Instagram account, my She's End Wildlife one. And I'm going to start like doing a regular video series about documenting, developing, and it's for educators, but developing garden spaces and developing education, this and that. Mm. But I'm going to try to push the podcast through Instagram.
Because I think that's the way to go. Like you said, it's the economy of scale. TikTok, you're not big unless you have 500,000 subscribers. And the reason is it's so easy to subscribe and there's no commitment. And YouTube, okay, you know, you're watching and you're interacting and yada, yada, yada. But Insta, you're sitting in bed and you're just going through, or TikTok, you're just, we need to have someone in this field. And I mean, I have an Insta account, but I can't get 10 people to follow me. I'm the wrong age. What Munsey needs is we need to get, you know, these young people, the Carsons of the world, Jonathans of the world, and someone else to get on TikTok, to get on Insta in a big way. And there are young players. We need to encourage them to get out there. Right there,
right?
You
mentioned a couple of high school age players. You know, there are definitely more out there. You know, I have a feeling there's going to be, it'll wane in this nap, but I mean, like still like my own son, Kai, you know, he starts middle school in a week from now. And wow. I said to him, well, he's only 11. Middle school starts early here. It's like grade six. That'd be still another year. It's like a gap year or bridge year here. You know, I said to him, you know, like, in the month of June. No, it was in May. He was not in our clan in May because he was too busy. He couldn't play. Didn't have enough time. So he joined in June because school ended the second week of June. So we had time in June and July to you know, to get those requirements done. Even then it was a race. But I said to him the other day, we were walking and playing, and I said, okay, August is coming up, you're starting school. Do you think you good idea to leave the clan for a month or two until you get your feet kind of settled in school? Or do you want to stay in? He's like, no, I want to stay. I want to stay. So, you know, he's motivated. So I'm hoping that he will remain hopefully motivated, if I can keep it fun for him, motivated over the next few years. And then he's going to be of the age to be those kids who are going to be, you know, doing something cool. I mean, I shared it on the Munzee Maniacs Facebook group, the Facebook group, what he did for my birthday. He made a stop motion Munzee video. He made a stop motion Lego video of me coming out of the house with my cell phone and capping a Munzee on a lamppost, you know. I thought that was adorable. So, you know, it would be neat if more people, younger people, could do things like that maybe and share them on social media. And people are like, what's that all about?
Yeah.
And investigate further, you know.
But, yeah, no, I definitely think that's the future. But we're just hopefully, I'm guessing the average age of those that listen to us are in the 30s and 40s as well and beyond.
No, older, even older, 40s, 50s, yeah.
Then I want to say, let's encourage, you know, everybody, let's make that part of our bucket list. Everybody try to get recruit a young player, someone in their 20s or teens, maybe. Or 30s. even still. But yeah, get, you know what I mean? Because I just think it's interesting that I see that in geocaching, they have a much wider a breadth of players from very young to very old, whereas it's Munzee seems to skew and peak a bit, right? You know, around the 50s. I'm sure their internal data is more specific than that, but that's just my feeling from what I see on the water cooler and such. And I'm not knocking it. I'm in my 50s. Hey, we're a wonderful generation. Thank you. I like us. But I want more people to play, and I want the young people. One of the things I like about having Kai in the game is that he genuinely enjoys it. A lot of people might think that this is daddy just pushing it on him. Kai genuinely enjoys the game, and that's great to see.
But here's the thing that I worry about, and this is why the stress I have with, like, the fact that China won't open their borders, and I'm stuck here in China right now working. I say stuck, but I mean, you know, I make a very good salary and I'm living quite comfortably. There's motivation for me to be here.
You're stuck in a marble palace, but you're stuck nonetheless.
Golden handcuffs, one might say.
There you go.
What I worry is that if we can't get out to Japan, say over winter holiday, or we can't get back to Japan and Canada in the summer, if we're just doing the same kind of loop around in the same areas all the time here in Shenzhen, it's going to get old.
Yeah.
And if I can't get new players in the game, and that's a key to get new players in the game, because when you see the map being hit by other people, that's exciting for me. When I can see, when I'm like, the activity is like on a Friday afternoon or Friday evening or Saturday afternoon, and I'm seeing that like my Munzees just down the road are getting capped by two or three people, like that's really exciting for me. But I haven't seen that in months now. So hopefully, and that I know, but you know, again, the young people. And that's why I add Kai to my videos occasionally when I make a YouTube vlog about it. But, you know, I got to try to branch that out too and push more because, you know, I want more people playing the game and more people listening to our podcast and all that stuff.
Kevin, you're breaking up. I don't know how much of that got through.
Okay, I was wondering, you froze, but I guess I froze. Okay.
No, you didn't freeze, but it felt like you were going in a black hole. You started slowing down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That happened, huh? Damn it.
Why can't
you? I'm not sure. Where was I talking? I'll listen through this. Okay, yeah, whatever. Guys, technology, you heard that. I've had a rough time the last week trying to interview people on my own end.
Yeah.
And just really slow internet connection time. So, yeah. So there you go.
It's also been this week or two. I it happens every summer, but I'm always surprised. In Japan, most of us have ADSL, the asymmetric digital, whatever that is, blah, 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 blah. So we're all on nodes. Yeah. And the thing is, if you live in a very dense area, I don't care how fast the lines are, they slow down when everybody's on at the same time. And the problem is, in the summer, it's so hot that about 4 p.m., whether it's I'm watching Netflix or Amazon Prime, whether I'm on Munzee or whatever, everything that's at all intensive, bandwidth-wise, begins to get glitchy. And for those that are listening to us, I'm in Japan, he's in China. This is coming to you around the world, but through some bottlenecks and bandwidth issue problems, you're lucky you're hearing us at all.
Government blockages.
Well, in my case, that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Anyway, getting back to your bucket list, sir.
Well, I mean, that's, I mean,
you had one okay. More,
yeah, well, in a nutshell, I've already alluded to one, getting more players.
Okay.
Get involved. But I've talked about that. I've beaten that one to death in every episode. the last one, and it's just very simple. I would love to have the chance to play in Florida. Because,
you know, Florida, like, sir.
I mean, and that would be a complete point grab. I mean, that would be, you know, let's move up a few million. Let's stay there for a week and move up a few million points. You know what I mean? let's make my phone catch on fire, overheat. Just Florida's probably the most active, densely populated place in the world, possibly.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if the stats, they should do stats. I know they have the stats, but they should release that. I'd love to know where the dense pockets are. And Florida's got to be, if not the number one, it's got to be in the top two or three. The whole thing is one big Munzee, you know, you can't see anything on the map because there's layers and layers and layers and layers. And it's a dense map, but it's a young map because things are going up all the time. It's so actively played. They have that, what is it, that critical mass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That just makes the game so exciting.
And I've got I'm using a MacBook Air, which just means I open up the Munzee map on Florida anywhere, like my video card is just screaming and it just can't handle it. Amazing. Yeah. But that would be a cool place to go. But that's it for the list. Anything else you want to add, PJ? Because we were kind of running a bit longer than I expected. Yeah, you know,
we are running long, but I have a feeling you're going to edit half of this out.
No. We broke up at one point. I'll cut that part out. I broke up
at many points, sir.
Well, we got great stuff for the blooper reel at the end of the episode this week.
We do, don't we? Quality, quality gaffes.
Mind you, this is basically a 45-minute blooper reel as it is.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Every episode of the podcast, except for when we have wonderful guests on.
There we go.
Guys. So everyone, thank you for listening to us. You've heed our advice. Get on your social media and share more about the game. Grow the game. Help grow the game. If you use Instagram, get on there. Take pictures of your Munzee adventures. Hashtag the heck out of it. Take videos. Put it up there. I'm going to be trying to utilize more of the video features, I think, in Insta.
Yeah.
Cool. And try to get some more traction. I still don't have a TikTok account, but
you should get one, sir. It's a mind sink. I spend at least an hour a day looking at mindless videos, but it really is therapeutic to a degree. And I'd love to see, you know, I've got an account there. I should do more towards Munzee. I don't know why I don't. I think even if I did, it wouldn't be enough. We'd need a young face. And sadly, I am missing that.
I tried twice to make a TikTok account using my phone number. And I don't know if I should be using my phone number, but it just never worked. It would just always be like a black screen. Yet I'd get push notifications about you should watch this video, that video. And when I opened the app, it was just black and I could never do anything with it. So that happened twice and I just deleted it.
You know, probably being where you are, you need to get the mainland version of it, which is not called TikTok.
I don't have a mainland version of the App Store, so.
No, but you might be able to get it. They might have that on. Let me do some investigation and get back to you. Another part we might want to edit out.
Okay.
Yeah, there's.
Well, folks.
All right. Go ahead.
You guys can always email us at munzeemaniacs@gmail.com. We'd love to have you come on the show if you have a fun story to share. munzeemaniacs@gmail.com. Join the Munzee Maniacs Facebook group, which I've already mentioned. Woo-hoo! You can follow me on Twitter at madformaple. And you can follow this guy on Insta at, is it Kansai underscore P-E-E underscore J-J-Y?
J-A-Y. Sir, you got it.
That's right. And check out the Munzee in Asia Facebook group as well. And remember, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating, write a review, give us a 5-star rating, of course. There's no other kind. There's no other kind. And share this with your Munzee playing friends. Share it on those Facebook groups that you're in and help grow our listening audience. We'd appreciate it.
Yes.
And we appreciate you guys listening. So thanks again for tuning into the Munzee Maniacs podcast.
Bye-bye.
See ya.